Amen and amen, Greenhouse Church. Greenhouse Church, let's go. Amen, amen. My name is Nico Williams. I get the honor to serve as the lead pastor here at Greenhouse Church. And if you're new here, I want you to know this is a preview service. Everybody say preview. Preview just means that we are in the process of launching Greenhouse Church. That's just our excuse to make a mistake, okay? So if we make a mistake, we need to pause. We're going to take the time to pause and get things right if we need to do that, because that's what we can do. If you're new here, I also want you to consider maybe coming back next week. Because who knows, maybe God is calling you to help start a work on this side of Greensboro. And then if you haven't stopped by the tent on your way out the door, we would love for you to consider doing that. Man, we've got a gift for you. As we jump into the text today, I got something I want to confess. I finally jumped on the Star Wars bandwagon. Yeah. It's taken me 29 years, but now I am all on board with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Anakin and Luke and Leia. I'm with all of them. I've enjoyed the series so far. It's been great. I've actually been watching it in its release order, and that's been really fun. But let me tell you the one thing that I got a problem with Star Wars. This is my problem with Star Wars. My problem with Star Wars is a Jedi Knight will be up against a whole battalion of stormtroopers, and the Jedi Knight will come out on top. I just think that's dumb. It's like, they got the blasters, and they got the guns, and they got all the people, and a Jedi Knight has one lightsaber. Now, I get it. They got the Force and everything, and the lightsaber can cut through everything, but it just don't make no sense to me. The Jedi Knight should have been dead. But let me tell you why I like movies like this. Let me tell you why you probably like movies like this. It could be Star Wars, it could be a superhero movie, a war movie, any kind of movie where the protagonist fights off a group of people. Y'all, we like movies like that because we love the thought of being invincible. Like, we see the crowd of bad guys and we're like, you know what? I got this. Let me go ahead and take care of them. We like thinking that we're invincible. The reason I think that we like the thought of being invincible is because we know we are not, and we pretend to be. You know how I know we pretend to be invincible? Because you haven't asked for prayer in that thing that's been eating you up. Whether that's sin or shortcoming, you would rather have the appearance of being good, looking strong, like, I don't need help, instead of showing your weakness and accepting the help that you can get. We want to be the Jedi Knight that defeats all the stormtroopers all by ourselves. The passage that we're going to study today in the book of Nehemiah is going to show us that we need each other. We need help. Not only do we need help, but if you are in the community of God's body, help can be on the way. Our main idea for today is we guard and defend the community. Everybody say guard and defend. If you're at Greenhouse Church, I want you to know that we have done our best as pastors to prayerfully and systematically guard and defend you. Y'all, we're going to be in Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 15. And we're going to see how the people of God are called to guard and defend. If you're new with us, you need to know that we're in a series called We Built the Wall. Everybody say, We Built the Wall. The book of the Bible here focuses on Nehemiah and his leadership of building up the wall, the broken down walls around Jerusalem. Last week, where we were looking at the earlier part of chapter 4, they've seen some opposition. Two cats named Sanballat and Tobiah, they were talking junk towards the people of God. Are you going to build this wall? If a fox goes up on it, it's going to break down. But where we're going to pick up today, they've gotten past just talking about it. They've actually started gathering some people, started rallying some nations around them to attack. So let's look at what the Bible says here in chapter 4, verse 15. It says, when our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows, and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way they each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. Hey, will y'all go to God and pray with me as we open up God's word? Heavenly Father, I need you in this moment. Would you use me as your vessel, Lord, to speak your truth? God, I confess my pride in this moment. How I genuinely enjoy people's eyes looking at me. But God, I pray that I will get to be a mirror right now and just reflect those eyes and that attention back to you, oh God. God, I need you. Use your word to challenge us, change us, and rearrange us. God, open up people's ears so that they can hear what you have done in Christ. Open up people's eyes so that they can see what you have done in Christ. Open up people's hearts, Lord, that they get to experience what you have done in Jesus Christ. Help us, help Greenhouse Church to guard and defend the family, the community, the body of Christ. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Y'all, point number one in this sermon is guarding the community. Everybody say, guard the community. Y'all, when we talk about the community, I want you to think a couple of things. I want you to think about the family. That's one of our values here at Greenhouse Church. But I also want you to think about the local church. I want you to think about Greenhouse Church. In the passage we just read, Nehemiah reflects on how God has frustrated the plans of the enemy in verse 15. And the enemies of Jerusalem, they put in motion these plans to stop the work and building of God. And God stops them. But Nehemiah now shows us that the strategy has changed. They went from everybody was working on the wall to now half of the people are working on the wall and half of the people are guarding those working on the wall. The Bible says that half of those people, they carried all the tools of war. Oh, here's a spiritual principle at work for the local church. We are called to watch over each other. We're called to watch over each other. What does it look like for the members of this church to watch over each other? I think it's going to look different in different seasons depending on the needs of what's going on. But I can tell you right now, a big part of what it means to guard and watch over somebody is covering each other in prayer. Which is why we intentionally took some time in our service today to pray over the needs of what's going on in each other's lives. The question I want you to wrestle with is, how often are you praying for the people in this church? What rhythms do you have in place to pray for the people that you are in community with? What about the people in your grow group? If you're in a grow group, you know this. We try to take time at the end of every grow group to pray. Sometimes we're praying for the city, but we try to alternate between praying for the city, praying for the church, and praying for one another. What do your prayer rhythms look like for the church? I'll give you a sneak peek into me and my wife's prayer rhythms. Every Wednesday, me and my wife, we study the Bible together. And after we finish studying the Bible, I pray for her. She prays for me. We pray for Ruach. And then we try to like lift our eyes up and pray for somebody outside of our immediate family. What could this look like for you? I don't know, but maybe you ought to think of it in two ways. You should think of personal prayer rhythms and rhythms in community prayer rhythms. Maybe you use your drive on your way to work to pray for somebody in our church. Maybe you take 5 minutes in that drive to pray for somebody else. Maybe during your own personal quiet time as you study the Bible, you read something, you're studying something, and it reminds you of somebody in this church. Take the moment to pray over them. And then I want to ask you to reach out and tell them. Y'all, this is actually a biblical principle. Whenever Paul writes a letter, he kind of starts it by saying, hey, I've been praying for you. I've been praying that the heart of your eyes will be enlightened so you can understand the depths of God's glory. When you start to pray for someone, let them know. I can't tell you how many times I've been encouraged when somebody says, Nico, I've been praying for you in Greenhouse Church. I've been praying for your marriage. I've been praying for your son. Y'all, it's an encouragement. And the reason why it's an encouragement is because I know that they are talking to the God who hears. Y'all, he can move. What do your prayer rhythms look like personally? But what about in community? Man, maybe you're sharing a meal with someone. Maybe you're sharing a meal with your family. And before, you know, as you're blessing the meal, what if you just said, hey, who can we pray for today? Maybe you give your children the opportunity to ask to answer the question, who do you want to pray for at Greenhouse Church? If you're just in community together, maybe you decide you're going to call somebody and you say, hey, I want to spend 10 minutes in prayer. Will you pray with me for this person, and this person? I don't know what it looks like, but here's what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you to set an intention. I want to ask you to set a plan, put a plan together. I want to talk to the dads in the room. This is your calling. If you are a dad, this is your calling. You are called to lead your family. And one of the ways that you can lead your family in a spiritual way is how we pray for the people in our lives. Whatever it looks like, I just want you to put a plan together. Because prayer truly does change things. Some of the other ways that we can guard and watch over each other, I got one other way for you. It's to observe and offer. Everybody say observe and offer. When you notice something going on in someone's life, whether that's sin or it's just, they're not just using the most wisdom, man, what would it look like for you to offer to share that with them? And trust me, church, I know this takes a whole lot of courage. But I need you to do it. As your pastor, I want to call you to do it because, number one, it's good for you and it's good for the church. But I can tell you, not only do you not need to, excuse me, y'all, I'm messing my place. Oh, when you do this, when you observe and offer, don't forget to be in prayer for yourself and praying for them. As you decide, like before you decide, hey, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna share with them what's going on, pray over yourself and over your own heart and pray for them that they will have ears to receive. I was talking to one of the members here at Greenhouse Church, and they were telling me about a time when someone had shared something with them earlier in their life. Someone sent them a message and said, hey, we need to go to coffee. So they go to coffee, and this person in their past begins to share something with them that's really difficult. Something hard to hear. And even though it was hard to hear, the bold words of that trusted friend led to a moment that she would say, in her own words, she said, this changed the trajectory of my marriage. Yeah, when was the last time you had this thought? I know I'm thinking this. I know a lot of other people in this room are thinking it, you know. Do you have the courage to go up and share that thing with them? Because if nobody shares it, here's the thing about blind spots. We can't see it. That's why they call it blind spots. If nobody shares it, then they're always going to be blind. You know, we were the team that was helping me go over the sermon. Pastor Jamie, he said, y'all not about to let me walk around with my breath stank, are you? That's the same thing. We need each other to speak into our lives, to challenge one another to grow. Challenge, by the way, is one of our values here at Greenhouse Church. We challenge others by calling them up for the glory of God and the good of others. Y'all, I got more to say on how we can practically challenge others by having hard conversations. I'm just running out of time in this sermon, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put together a blog. It's going to come out this week so that you can read it. It's called Welcome to the Elephant Club, How to Have Hard Conversations, okay? So be on the lookout for that later this week. But also, just as a little tag for next week's sermon is actually talking about conflict, engaging in difficulty in the body of Christ. Here's the last piece of advice around this is you can really only challenge others effectively when you're in proximity to them. For the Israelites building the wall, the people who were guarding them, they had to be close by. I say this to say, unless you're like in a, you feel an overwhelming burden from the Holy Spirit to speak a hard truth into someone's life that you're not actively doing community with, I would simply commit that thing to prayer. And if the Lord provides an opportunity for you to say that thing, then you boldly take that opportunity. Let me just say it like this though. If you're a member at Greenhouse Church, that's proximity. What you're saying as a member is, hey, I'm raising my hand for you to speak into my life. If you didn't know that, you probably wasn't listening when we did some of our intake processes. The point is, when we are in community together, I'm inviting you to come and tell me about my stuff. And the expectation is you feel the same way. Greenhouse Church, let me just share with you an importance of the value of community, because that's what we're talking about, is that community building each other up and guarding and defending one another. Y'all, this past weekend, our church got a chance to serve at the Juneteenth Black Food Truck Festival. It was incredible. Y'all, I had been praying all week for that thing, and God really answered my prayer, because I was sitting at one of the tables, and another volunteer, she sits down beside me, and she says, have you ever been in a crowd and you feel all alone? I said, yeah, I have felt that way before. Is that how you're feeling right now? She goes, yeah. I'm feeling like that, and I've been watching you. I've been watching you this day, and I look at you, and you seem happy. Like, you actually look happy. Like, some people, they look happy on the outside, and maybe they're not happy on the inside, but you, I feel that you are actually happy. And I knew in one instance exactly why I felt all the joy that I had. Number one, because I have the full acceptance of Jesus Christ. Number two, I have a community of people who are around me, supporting me, lifting me up, keeping me prayed up. And number three, I'm walking in the calling of God for my life. Whole reason I bring it up is because she was missing that community piece. She was missing the people of God around her. This is what this woman was getting at when she said, man, I'm in a crowd and I feel all alone. Church, this is why we're planting Greenhouse Church. We want to establish a place where people can feel tangibly the community of Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage us all with an opportunity to invite the people that we know and love into community through something that we're calling Greenhouse Church Welcome Sunday. Y'all, this upcoming week, I want to challenge our entire church to invite one person to come and worship with us. No, it's not our official launch. But it is a time and opportunity for our team to practice inviting people into the body and community of Christ. Something else I want to point out from this text is how Nehemiah describes the leaders. Look at the last part of verse 16 one more time. It says, and the leaders stood behind the whole house of Judah. For this entire sermon series, I've been using the people of Israel in Nehemiah to paint a picture of what the church could be like. The global church for sure, but more specifically, Greenhouse Church. And so I got to take some time to mention that the leaders of this church, myself, Pastor Jamie, and Pastor Quentin, y'all, we are watching over you. And biblically, we've got a call to do so. Y'all, we're not watching over you like a professor watching a student taking a test. It's more like the parable of the prodigal son in Luke 15. After the son leaves home, the father looks out intently over the horizon, expecting his child to come home. He was intently looking and searching. And I'm not trying to insinuate that any one of us have strayed into sin, or that like we're like some kind of father, like you guys are our children. But I am trying to communicate that this is the kind of watching our pastoral team does for you. Y'all, we're praying for you. We're thinking of you. We're watching out as a means of protection. In this text in particular, you might think about it like you have the workers building the wall, and then you got those guarding those building the wall, and then you have the leaders watching over both teams, keeping their eye on the horizon, watching out for their enemies in the distance. Y'all, when the church works together like this, we're protected and we guard one another. There are going to be some times when those are working, they're going to need to switch with those who are guarding. And then there are going to be some other times that we're going to celebrate when those who are guarding, they're called up to lead as pastors in this church. And they're going to start watching out from that higher vantage point to protect from the enemy's attacks. Y'all, I think in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 5 does a good job of describing the relationship between pastors and the people in the flock and how we ought to all relate to one another. Check out what it says. It says this: shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Here's Peter. He's talking to the elders of the church. He says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, which is watching over, seeing over, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you shall receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. According to this text, chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, Paul says that pastors are called to have oversight, to watch over those that they're watching, those in their flock. Another thing that this passage said, it says, we are called to not be domineering. You know, to domineer over someone means to lord over or establish control in what feels to be a rough way. So hear me when I say this, Greenhouse Church, and I mean this. If I or any one of our pastors behave in a way that feels like it's domineering, I need you to come tell us. Because we're specifically called to not be domineering. And I want you to know, I recognize that that requires a whole lot of courage. But I'm specifically, I need you to do this. I need you to be bold, and I need you to tell me or one of our pastors, because we just might not know that we're behaving in this way. That's why it's called a blind spot. Now, because we are called to watch over the souls of this church, there are going to be times where it's going to feel like we're being domineering. And our heart posture really is about protection. So we're going to need some grace. We're going to give the same amount of grace, probably even more, because we're called to that. But I can promise that if you come to us and you say, hey, Nico, I'm feeling like you're being domineering or whatever, we're going to apologize. I'm going to apologize. I'm going to seek your forgiveness. And then we're going to talk through some actionable ways about how I can lead as a church, as a church pastoral team, and not be domineering. Because we want to lead the way Christ leads, in humility and grace. So if there's something you need to tell me or tell one of our pastors, here's three steps I want you to do, okay? Pray over it. You feeling this from me? I need you to pray over that. I need you to pray over yourself. I need you to pray over your heart. I need you to pray over me. I need you to pray. Second thing I want you to do is I want you to email me. Send me an email. And then the third thing I want you to do is I want you to set up a meeting so we can talk. My email is nicow@greenhousechurchnc.com. Man, if you don't feel comfortable doing that, like speaking to me, maybe you want to speak to one of our pastors, Pastor Jamie or Pastor Quentin, and they can talk to me. But just know, man, what we want to do is we want to overcome whatever it is that you're feeling. So email us. We're going to set up a meeting. We're going to talk about it. And we need you to be honest. Y'all, verse 5 in that passage, it reminded us, in that First Peter passage, it reminds us all to be subject to the pastors and to also have humility towards one another. So if someone is offering an observation that they've made about us, we should humbly accept it, whether or not we think that they're right. What this means is, if somebody had enough boldness and courage to come and tell you about yourself, a perceived blind spot, here's what I want you to say. Thank you. Because you care about me. You obviously care about me. To bring this up to me, you care about me. I want you to say thank you. And if you need to talk through it, hey, ask some more questions, some clarifying questions. It's not about whether they were right or wrong. What it's about is, are you going to be the kind of person that receives feedback? Humbly receiving feedback. Here's the last thing I want to draw your attention to. The text in Nehemiah said that those who were laboring had a tool to do the work in one hand, and they had a weapon in the other. Here's the last question I want to ask you in this particular passage. Is, how are you keeping watch over yourself? What habits of prayer do you have for yourself? Last week, we talked about how prayer was the weapon. How are you praying for yourself? Church, as we move on in the text, We're called to not only guard the people in our lives, but to defend them. Look with me at verses 18 through 20. And each of the builders had his sword strapped at his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me. And I said to the nobles and the officials and to the rest of the people, the work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. Y'all, this leads to point number two. Defending the community. Everybody say defend the community. If guarding the community means to watch over it, I want you to think of defending the community as coming to the aid of someone, especially when they're in danger. In these verses we just read, Nehemiah sets up a system for the community to come to the defense and aid of a section or a group of people that needed help. Nehemiah instructed the man who sounded the trumpet to remain beside him because if he saw that there was a section of the wall that needed defense, that person was going to blow the trumpet. And the instructions were, when you hear the trumpet blow, I need you to come and I need you to rally to us there. But it's interesting because I thought when I was reading this for the first time, I thought he was going to say, when you hear the trumpet blow, rally to us there because we will fight for you. That's right. That's not what he says. That's not what the text says. He says, when you hear the trumpet blow, rally to us there because our God will fight for you. Y'all, I think this is a great example of exactly what God has done in Jesus Christ for you. You see, for each of us, we were in danger for a variety of reasons. We were in sin. We were without provision. We had no spiritual covering, and the enemy was on his way to attack. But Greenhouse Church, that wasn't our biggest problem. See, the biggest problem was when we were outside of Christ, there was no one to blow the horn for us. We were not only dead in our sins, but we were spiritual orphans. And while we might have friends and family that care for us, we had no spiritual covering. We were living in the enemy's domain and no one was coming. But God. Everybody say, but God. But God, who was rich in mercy, he was watching over us before we knew we needed him. He was the leader, standing on the wall, watching, guarding, and protecting us. Not only was he the leader that watched, he became like one of the workers and started working on the wall. And when Jesus came off of the high walls of heaven to become a man in his humanity, he never once missed the mark. He never sinned one time. See, where you and I, we missed the mark, where we let our flesh control us, where we disobeyed our parents, when we were dishonest, Jesus never one time missed the mark. He came off of the high wall of heaven to not only become a man, but he came off the wall of heaven to be your guardian and your defender. Nehemiah said, when you hear the trumpet sound, rally to us there because our God will fight for us. See, he didn't know it when he wrote this book, but Jesus would later come and fight the battle of sin and death for us so that we wouldn't have to. If you're here this afternoon and you realize you need God to fight for you because you don't got no protection, I want you to know that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you can find covering in Jesus Christ. And all you got to do is trust that this covering of Christ, and he will be your shepherd and he will be your defender. But you need to know that even though Jesus is your ultimate protector and guardian, that doesn't mean bad things won't happen. It doesn't make God any less of a guardian because you got sick or you lost a job or you got in a car accident. What it means for Jesus to be your guardian and defender is that he protects you from the enemy of sin and death. When you trust in him, the Bible says at the moment that you believed the gospel, the Holy Spirit begins to live in you and he gives you the power to overcome sin. If that's you, if you're hearing this and you want to accept that today, listen, do me a favor. Write on the offering envelope your name, your email address, all your information, and then write covering. If that's you, you need a covering. You know you need a covering. I want you to write covering and then give it to me or one of our pastors or somebody out of the tent. Now, the other part about this text that's interesting is exactly how Nehemiah describes the situation. He says that the work is great and widely spread. You know, a minute ago, we were talking about guarding the community. You might think of the people that you're guarding as your grow group. Man, you got to be in close vicinity or proximity to be guarding them this way. But what we're talking about right here, Nehemiah is talking about how the work is widely spread. That means that there were people who were not close to each other. For us, in our context, that means we got to learn how to do both. We got to care for the people in our small group. And when the trumpet is blown, we got to learn how to come to the defend and the aid of the people in our community. This is why church membership is so important. Church membership allows us to know who exactly is on the team. This lets us know who's with us. So when something goes down and tragedy strikes, somebody somewhere knows we got to blow the horn for them. We got to come to their aid. We got to come and defend them. You know, earlier this year, Pastor Jamie, he reminded our launch team that one of the ways that we can show up for the family is by asking two questions. If we see somebody has a need, we can ask the first question, am I the right person to meet that need? And if I'm not the right person, who is? Are we going to be the kinds of people that run to the aid and defense of others? This is one of the ways that we can rally to the aid of others. Here's another one. It's very practical. See, at Greenhouse Church, we typically meet in grow groups. And during the month of July, we're actually going to take a break from grow groups. And the reason why we do that is to give those who lead and host a little bit of a rest. But we're also going to do something called large group Bible study. They're going to be every Wednesday in July. And I want to call you to come for several reasons. Number one, it's going to be really good. There's going to be some good teaching. But number two, as I've been in community with people who are particularly single, what they experience, they've told me what they experience in when we take breaks during the summer, all of a sudden, the community that they've built is just not the same anymore. And so if you're not single, if you're married, I want to call you to make a commitment to come to large group Bible study, to be a part of building up the community, coming to the defense and aid of the people who don't have somebody when they go home at night. Let's be the community for the people in our church. This is going to happen every Wednesday in July. If you want to find out more information, you can go to our Connect page online. Now, there's a ton of ways that we can rally, come to the aid and defense of the community and rally behind them. But here's what I want to call it to by way of application. Protect and be protected by the body of Christ. Protect and be protected by the body of Christ. You can't be protected by the body of Christ if you're not already a part of the body. So if you're here and you know I need that kind of covering, I already told you I want to invite you into relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to accept Jesus Christ. I already told you what to do. Write down covering on the envelope and hand it to me or one of our pastors or put it with somebody at the tent. But maybe you're already a follower of Christ. And you know you need a local church body to belong to. Become a member with us. At Greenhouse Church, we call our members co-laborers. Let me tell you why. Because we labor together in the work of bearing fruit. Our mission statement is to be with Jesus and to bear fruit. And as members, we all bear fruit together. We co-labor together. Man, if you want to have a conversation about becoming a member with us, joining our launch team, and helping us as we prepare to launch Greenhouse Church, put your name on an envelope and write co-laborer or member. Just write member and hand it to me on your way out the door. If you're already a part of our launch team, the application is the same. Protect and be protected. I need you to go ahead and put in your mind that you're going to be called to watch out and defend the brothers and sisters in this local church. Rally behind them. Come to their aid. If you hear that somebody needs a ride and you see that you're able to give them a ride, give them a ride. If you can't, try to find somebody that can. If you know somebody in our church is struggling with loneliness, I want to call you to invite them into your rhythms. And if it ain't working out that first time, that's okay. Keep on inviting them. Speaking of inviting people into your rhythms, here's something I want to call you to. Build the habit and rhythm of saying, I need help. Here's what we all need to work on, and here's what I want to call us to. In humility, be protected by the body of Christ. When something goes down, when tragedy happens, you feeling hardship, something's going on in your marriage, something's going on in your mind, something's going on in your soul, you need to tell somebody so that they can blow the horn. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're probably thinking, I don't want to tell nobody that because I don't want nobody up in my business. I feel you, okay? I don't want everybody up in my business either. Especially when I fail myself. I fail my wife. I fail my God. I don't want nobody up in my business like that. I'm not telling you. You don't need to tell everybody what's going on. But you need to tell somebody. And somebody needs to know the whole truth. Y'all know what we do. We Christians. We say, oh, I was struggling with this, with a smile on your face. Oh, no. But it's fine. Because I used to struggle with that. But today I'm good. Now, we need to invite people into our struggle so that they can watch and guard and protect us. Let's guard and defend the family together. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for this church. I thank you for what you've been doing. God, I ask you to do so much more. God, I pray for courage for the people in this church who know they got something that they need to share with somebody. I pray that they will have courage to do it. I pray for this church to have humility. When somebody shares something with us, we will be the kind of people who say, thank you. You care about me. God, I pray that we will be a church that seeks you in your word. And we love you, Lord, that we would love you more and more and more. Not only through your word, but through your people. And we would grow in our love for one another. So much so that we would guard and defend the family. I pray these things in your name.